Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Real quick shout out, if you don't mind. This is kind of a random one. It says, hey, guys, the love of my life, my wife Tricia, turns 40 this weekend. We're loyal podcasters. Mm. And I know nothing would make her birthday month. Probably more than to here.
Maybe he's Russian.
Shout out from our favorite people. Thank you, your Lancaster listener, Brad Hatfield. So here's a shout out. And happy birthday, Tricia, to your big 4-0 coming up this weekend.
We love all anybody who indulges and listens to the show, and that's great. But the podcasters, you know, a lot of times they'll listen a little bit to the show and then listen to the whole podcast over. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, and by the way, we have a new thing called the Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast. And it's just, instead of, if for some reason you don't have time or you already did listen to the show, and you want to catch just a little segment that we've kind of highlighted for the day, one of our favorites of the day.
Yes.
That is now available. The Bizarre Files are available for a podcast all by themselves. You can even activate your Amazon Echo to just play the Bizarre File for you if you want to. So there's all kinds of different ways that you can
packaging
listen.
The hell out of us.
Yeah, if you missed one of the Bizarre Files, you can go listen to it later on, because we do it twice a day and they're both original. They're all a group of original stories. So if you want to take a listen later on, you can do that. I got an email from a guy from Germany this morning who listens regularly as a podcaster. So
isn't that wild?
It's all over the world, man. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is a follow-up story to something that we quickly chatted about a couple of weeks ago, but I saw this article yesterday, and Kathy, we were talking about something, food that's got mold on it.
Yeah.
And I found this little article. It says, it turns out that you shouldn't be too worried if you, let's say you make a sandwich and you take a bite into it, and then you look down the sandwich and you go, oh my God, the bread's moldy. I had no idea. It says you shouldn't be too worried. Dr. Rudolf Bedford, gastroenterologist at Providence St. John's Health Center, says that one bite and you're probably fine. He said, in general, if you eat moldy food, you're not going to die from it, and you can digest it like any other food.
All right.
As long as your immune system is in good shape, Bedford says that the fuzzy green or white mold on vegetables might make you feel sick, but that's most likely because mold tastes bad, not because of any particular toxin.
It's just your reaction to the taste.
Yeah.
How much could you eat, like 5-6 pounds of mold and be okay?
Probably.
All right. You know, assuming that's the cutoff.
Not all
point.
In one sitting.
No. You stretch it out over an hour.
No, but he said you only need to call the doctor if you get very sick from the mold, which is unlikely.
Like bleeding eyes.
It says if you have persistent nausea and vomiting, you should make sure that you call your doctor.
Oh, well, I'd think so. But you know what? I actually just read something that bread is not supposed to go moldy. So basically, your bread should harden, where you would then have to, like,
my bread's hard right now.
Make breadcrumbs out of it. Like, that's what bread should do. It shouldn't be, if it's getting moldy, that's no good.
Well, so
I mean, obviously,
it does get moldy though. So what is the?
So you're saying stale bread is okay to eat? Moldy bread not okay?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So now, do you store your bread in the refrigerator? Or do you leave
I
it?
Don't.
In the...
You guys?
Claire always puts, like, you know, the bread in the refrigerator. And I bought a bread box. It says bread on it, Gabby. And I'll put it in there sometimes. But I think, right, that's the way you store bread.
That's the way my wife puts it in the fridge. She puts the peanut butter in the fridge and the bread. And we never did that ever growing up.
Yeah,
actually,
either.
My cousin doesn't even put her butter in the fridge. She just leaves the butter out.
You know what? I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, she just has it covered all the time, which, hey, you know what? Like, when you're spreading butter on something, it's awesome when it just spreads on nice and easy.
Right. But not peanut butter. No. Peanut butter does not belong in the fridge.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
I agree with
you. It's interesting you bring that up. Here's an article that says you've been storing peanut butter wrong all along.
I knew it, except I don't know what you're going to say.
All right. Delish reports... By the way, I think we're officially in the connoisseur.
Oh,
yeah.
I've got several food.
We just fell ass backwards into the connoisseur.
I've got several
several food stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Delish reports you should really keep your jar of peanut butter upside down.
Like wine.
This is especially true if you enjoy natural peanut butter, as it develops a pool of oil on the top, which I can't see.
You're saying the way that peanut butter forms in nature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. The way, the famous peanut butter pools of...
oh, my God, of Guadalupe.
Yeah, of Guadalupe.
The Preston... Woe is the traveler who happens to walk unknowingly across a peanut butter pit.
Yep.
But wait a second. You said wine as well? You're supposed to stir your wine
I've always heard you stir wine on a slant.
Tilted.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you used to if it has a cork because you don't want the cork to dry out.
Exactly.
You dig?
I wish I liked natural peanut butter more than I do.
You know what, Nick?
You have to make the switch.
Well, I don't mind the flavor of it. It's not as sweet as, say, you know, Jif and Peter Pan and all that other stuff. It's not quite as sweet. It's still really, really good.
I made the switch, and I love Chunky. Caitlyn Jenner for Jif.
But it's the oil separation that makes it difficult because then I have to go in with a spoon and mix it up, and it takes forever for it to get fully mixed together.
So if you actually get truly just crushed peanuts and use that as peanut butter, you don't get the oil.
Right.
So here's the deal.
That's the difference between, peanut butter and just
peanut paste. We started eating that years ago, and yes, there's less sugar in it. At first, it doesn't taste as good, but now it's like, I don't really know any different. And it's like,
Do you pulverize it down to a paste?
You literally crush the peanuts at the store. So, it goes through a machine.
I've seen them. But does it come out in a paste-like consistency?
Like that you could spread on.
Okay. Yeah. So I find that when you do that, I find peanut butter of that nature has even a slightly sweet taste to it.
Yeah, I mean, it still has a little bit. It still tastes good, but
like I'll take a tablespoon of peanut butter and put it on my genitals. I'll taste it, and it tastes a little sweet, you know.
I know what you mean. And listen, if I were to have like regular peanut butter now, it would taste like candy. I think.
Okay. You're probably right.
I'm going to give you the details on this peanut butter thing, but there's a lot of text coming in, and I'm curious as to what you don't store in the fridge that you probably should, or whatever you believe. There's a lot of people saying they don't put ketchup in the fridge.
What?
All right, so we'll take some calls on that.
Jot this down because we're passing out very valid or very invalid information.
But doesn't ketchup say refrigerate after opening?
What's that?
Some of them say,
I'm not sure.
Like some of them say refrigerate after opening, prior to.
I never read labels.
We'll check on that. But also people are saying butter is safe to keep out as long as it's covered. Outside of the fridge. But anyway, let me go to that. I'll go back to peanut butter and then we'll dissect all this stuff.
You're confusing the connoisseur.
This says, by storing the jar upside down, the oil will eventually distribute throughout the entire jar instead. To make this even better, refrigerate your peanut butter upside down and you'll get a creamier peanut butter.
I love a creamy peanut butter.
I do, too.
I do. I do. God help me, I do.
And I would have to try that on my own because I wouldn't think that the oil would distribute any differently than if you have it right side up and it will just pool on the top. But it'll be different because you unscrew and the pool will be in the oil will be in the other end.
Do you know they need to market for your kitchen?
I'll try it.
A small version of your classic paint mixer.
Yes.
To put your
itty bitty thing to shake up your peanut butter in.
Yeah, but right? Do we have to think of everything?
You know what we never really used to store in our fridge was steak
family
sauce.
Family photos?
Steak sauce.
Oh, steak sauce.
Like steak A1 sauce? Or? Yeah, like A1.
Preston, we did all the time, and I always wondered whether that was, like, I used to love A1 constantly.
Yeah.
I always thought, man, when it sits out, it's a little better.
Yeah.
The consistency was a little more.
Well, and it's not cold. You're taking a hot steak and you're dipping it in cold sauce, and it kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. That makes sense, too. But we always kept that in the Worcestershire sauce in the, I don't know why we ever had that nonsense.
It's, Worcestershire?
Yeah.
I use it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Just plain old or as like a mix?
Oh, well, you can marinate steaks with it.
Yeah.
You can also, I mix it with ketchup. It was the Steak and Shake secret sauce on their Chili Five Way, by the way.
Oh, wow.
It was ketchup and Worcestershire mixed together.
So. Little peek behind the curtain.
If you want to make a really yummy scrambled eggs, do Worcestershire and Tabasco.
Yes.
Or Frank's Red Hot.
I can see that.
Boom, boom. But A1 sauce, Stephen, getting back to you.
Yes.
If you like
the floor recognizes me.
Five Guys uses that as a topping. You can, and it's is really.
Right?
It's. I mean, not all the time. It's an optional topping.
What is in A1, if I may? Do you have any idea? I know they put an A in it and a 1. Yeah.
I don't know. The steak sauce all kind of has a similar flavor to it, but I'd have to look up what all is in it. I'm not really sure.
All right. You want to hear Heinz's official stance on ketchup in the fridge?
Yes.
Okay. So because of its natural acidity, Heinz's ketchup is shelf stable. However, its stability after opening can be affected by storage conditions. We recommend that this product, like any processed food, be refrigerated after opening.
Okay.
Refrigeration will maintain the best product quality after opening, and that's from Heinz.
People are pointing out, and I remember this as well, when I did work in restaurants, that the ketchup was never refrigerated, but you were going through a lot of ketchup.
Yes, so you were.
It got used quickly, as opposed to at the house, it maybe will sit a little bit longer.
So you submit to the court that by the sheer nature of the turnover, one need not refrigerate that ketchup.
I put it to you, Greg.
Well, it gets refrigerated when everything closes down.
The air conditioning comes on.
No, we're talking about restaurants, right?
You're talking about, like, in restaurants, where they put them in the large freezing units?
Ours was, you know, like...
Yeah, not the restaurants I worked. There was, like, the condiment sat with where the server's station was. So,
really?
Yeah.
Did you have to combine bottles on shifts?
Yeah. We actually had a little device, a thing where you take all the ketchup bottles and put them on upside down.
Like a conical.
Yeah.
It was like a funnel, but at the top you could fit like six ketchup bottles in it, and you'd put them in and just turn them upside down. They would all go in the same container.
That's pretty cool. You know what? I've been trying to convince my wife, and it's just an old habit that she can't break. It's my understanding you do not extend the battery life if you store your batteries in the refrigerator.
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know that at least with like car batteries, cold temperatures can make them die quicker.
But, though we have the door of our refrigerator has a whole bunch of batteries in it.
You should probably look that up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then pass that along to Claire.
Oh, man. And by the way, I think it might be a psychosomatic thing, but I always feel like the ketchup tastes better when it's put in those little ketchup bottles, like those red, you know, it's just a straight up red.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't know
it's the same way.
I mean, the non-clear ones. That are red plastic.
Ketchup is red.
Looks like
mustard
a full bottle,
is yellow.
But it's not.
Yes.
I know what you're
It's the great
about.
Secret is that food tastes better when it's in the container it's in looks like the food itself.
Now, here's a text that just came in, and I wholeheartedly disagree with it. I respect your opinion, but this person says, I am not putting cold ketchup on my hot French fries. I like the juxtaposition of the cold ketchup on the hot fries.
Right. Do you put pepper in your ketchup? I do all the time.
Mm-hmm. Pepper in the ketchup?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Do a little but thing of ketchup and then...
You guys already hate me because...
I figured I'd go with the second sound effect. What are you doing?
I'm making ketchup on my fries.
Jeez.
All right, anyway, let me go to some phone calls here. I will go to Andrew, who does the peanut butter thing in the fridge upside down. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Good morning. I actually don't do it in the fridge. I do it outside because if I keep it in the fridge, it gets harder and then...
rips up the bread when you're trying to spread it on it.
It's harder to spread. So if it's outside, it's softer and the oil actually massages itself into the peanut butter.
Really?
And it's a lot softer. And it tastes a lot better, and honestly, you don't get frustrated breaking knives because it's harder in the fridge.
Well, listen, when I'm taking, for example, butter, and our butter is stored in the refrigerator, I take it out, and then the first thing I do is I'll put it in the microwave for 6 seconds, and just melt it a little bit to make the application that much easier.
We buy the more spreadable stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple of brands you can get. I think it might be Country Crock, and it's always... It's easy on the bread, and I know, but if you do the actual sticks of butter, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to spread.
I've used the I can't believe it's not butter, and I got to tell Fabio in person that it's a solid product, but it's from what I understand it's just more chemically based.
If you get whipped butter, you're fine.
Are you?
Yeah.
Right. I will go next to Donato. Donato, good morning.
Yeah. Morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Good. So yeah, I've been doing the peanut butter thing for years.
Okay.
And actually, you don't even need a knife. It's soft enough that you can just pour it right out if you're
really.
Hungry. This is the natural peanut butter stored upside down, so it separates
absolutely.
It. Okay.
You're saying you could literally pour it onto the bread.
It comes out like ketchup real slow, like this, but it'll come out. You just pour it onto the bread, and it's mashed together. You don't even need a knife.
Okay.
Wow.
And you said there's one catch.
There's one catch. Make sure the lid's on tight.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll leak. All right. Good tip. Thank you, Donato.
Do you have to put a lid on it? Can you just flip it over and slide it across the shelf?
try that. let me go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Dave?
Long time listener. I listened to you guys back on Y100.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. What's up?
So, yeah, I never refrigerate ketchup. Never have. Grew up, my parents never did it, and I just kind of followed suit.
Okay.
Well, we have to then add this aspect to it. Mustard. Does mustard end up in the refrigerator, or do you keep mustard out?
Mine does.
Mustard is in the refrigerator, yes. Uh-huh. I don't really eat mustard, but it is in the refrigerator.
Okay. Do you guys go through a lot of ketchup then?
Yeah, I go through a lot of ketchup, but, you know, it's like that one guy who texted in earlier about all basically everything he eats with ketchup is hot, and I don't want cold ketchup touching my hot food.
So what I do is I
know what you mean. Thanks, Dave.
Like, I had something I had a salad in the refrigerator yesterday, you know, and about an hour before I was going to eat it, I took it out of the refrigerator. And I like things a little bit more room temperature-ish, you know? So I, if I get a sandwich, like from Primo's, I microwave it for about 15 seconds.
I like
radiation.
I like salads. Like when we go to Texas Roadhouse, and some restaurants will serve it like in a chilled dish.
Okay.
I love it. Ketchup. I love salads.
Do you?
Ice cold. Absolutely.
I drink all my water at room temperature. The icy stuff does not thrill me.
Okay. I will go to Stephanie. Hello there, Stephanie.
Hello. How are you?
Great. What's up, Steph?
Same thing with syrup. Pancake syrup. You put that in the fridge and put it on a hot pancake. Ketchup, same thing.
We've always, now, mind you, I can't remember the last time I've been able to convince myself, even though I love pancakes, to have them. But whenever we were growing up, we always had the syrup in the cupboard.
Me too.
It was not in the refrigerator.
We always put it in the fridge.
Because to me, it just seemed like one of those things that didn't need to be refrigerated.
No, and in fact, you wanted it to pour a little more freely.
Yes, exactly.
As a matter of fact,
it's warmer, if you heat it up,
it's
so much better.
Yes.
Big difference.
Now, I'll drink a glass of it.
Stephanie?
I said, that's true. If you put it in the microwave for a couple seconds, it makes it all that much better.
I agree. All right, thanks, Stephanie.
Now, do you guys have a preference or don't even care if you get the regular syrup or I think it's like buttered syrup? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think buttered syrup is redundant. Regular. Yeah, I think regular gets it done.
But I have had that in the past. Yeah. I used to be a huge blueberry syrup guy when I was a kid, but now it's nothing but maple.
So blueberry pancakes were one of my jams for a while.
Still is.
This is the eternal conflict, connoisseur, is that I have, I love the taste of pancakes, but I can't.
You, yes, you can. You're
it's
allowed.
Like eating cake for breakfast.
So what? So what? It's like not like, listen, don't
a,
eat.
It's like having a devil's food cake for breakfast.
Don't eat pancakes every day for breakfast, right. But, you
Treat
know.
Yourself.
Four times a year, three All times right. a year, twice a
four
year.
Four times a day.
Waffles. Four times a day.
Wobbles, yes. Whatever it is, anything like that, crepes and all that stuff. It's essentially
cake. I'm trying. I need to go to a support group.
I will go next to, I've never heard of this before. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave H. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey, and Chris, I'm on the radio.
All right, Chris.
Hey!
Suck it, Chris. Suck it. What's up, Dave?
All right, I keep cereal in the fridge. I think it lasts longer. My girlfriend thinks it's insane.
Breakfast cereal, so like cornflakes and things like that, you'll keep in the fridge.
Yeah, and it tends to last a little longer.
I think you're wrong.
Never heard of that.
You know what you can do if you're a big fan of keeping it fresh? Just get those Tupperware containers where you pour it into.
Like in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Like in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I do the same thing. But you know what I found? Because I did the same thing, Steve. But I found that like the cereal doesn't stay around long enough for me to put it in a Tupperware container.
It's a problem because I do love cereal.
We go through a ton of cereal
when
in
I
my
actually
house.
Sit down to eat cereal.
Yeah,
I'll go. You know, but what I do is I keep the milk at a bare bones. Yeah. Just the suggestion of milk.
Why?
Because that jacks up the calories of the cereal.
Oh, it's a calorie thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I need enough milk in there to make good. I only have cereal on the weekends.
Okay.
Because I don't eat it.
Discovered.
Eat on the road. Sorry.
That I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch oh so much. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I've been eating a lot more cereal lately.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I love you oh so much.
By the way, I'm fairly certain that cinnamon. All right, so you know how like the Chevy Tahoe and the Chevy Silverado.
Oh, where are we going here?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's like stew, Preston.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Life is a stew. Go
so you're right, saying that so, in many ways cinnamon is similar to large trucks.
You got to hear me out here. All right. I'm fairly certain this is going to make sense.
All right.
You know how the Chevy Tahoe and the Chevy Silverado are on the same frame?
Yes.
It's just a different shell on it?
No, okay.
Okay. I think Golden Grahams and a Cinnamon Toast Crunch are the same frame. They just have a different coating.
Are they the same manufacturer?
I don't know. I haven't investigated enough.
Why not?
But you know what? You guys want to take this journey now? No.
I think you need to go undercover. I think you need to get a part-time job at, like, an Acme.
Okay.
Right. And I think you need to get in the good graces of people who man the cereal aisle.
Right. You sure Acme and not, like, General Mills?
No. I think the people who are going to be the more loose-lipped are going to be down, you know, who are going to be in the trenches. Mm. And maybe you go out for, like, a happy hour one day. Mm. And then you say, hey, Lou, what about cereal?
All right. Well, look, I'm not wearing a wire.
I know, in case they pat you down.
All right, I'm going to switch gears because I wanted...
Why? This is so proper.
Well, because I wanted to get to this, and I appreciate all the calls that are coming about what you keep in the fridge and whatnot, but we only have a few minutes left before we're going to have to take a break. Oh, wait a minute. We're done with the...
Yeah.
We don't have to do it.
We got all the time in the world.
Let's keep talking about this.
Well, all right.
I'll get to this eventually in this break, but...
Okay, about the thing that I sent you?
Yes.
All right.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Is it connoisseur material or no?
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is.
Oh, is it?
Oh, let me get one last call on this because I thought this was interesting, and then I'll move on to this other thing. Right. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning, Dilly Belotted.
Dilly Belotted.
Dilly Belotted.
What's up, Katie?
So, I have a good girlfriend. I got in her car, and in the door, the pocket on the door, there's a bottle of ketchup. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And she's like, oh, that's my fiance's. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, he keeps a bottle of ketchup in both of our vehicles. And I'm like, why? And she's like, he loves ketchup that much that he always has like a safety bottle with him because they never give him enough ketchup whenever they go to restaurants or when he orders takeout, like, you know, so
a drive through. That is commitment when you keep a bottle of ketchup. That's a necessity in your vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so think about that.
Wow.
Like, it's getting hot, it's getting cold, all the temperature changes, and he has never gotten sick from it.
And he's been doing this for years, Katie?
Years.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So, I don't know if I would, after like a heat wave, you get into the car and it's...
I don't know.
And he's never had an issue? He's never gotten sick off of it?
No, he's never. But I think he goes through it fast enough.
Like, all right, yeah.
He really goes through it fast enough that it, you know, it's nice. Super bad.
If you were to keep a condiment in your car, Preston, what would it be?
It would probably be ketchup because, I mean, I can use them on burgers and fries. Mustard, it is not exclusive to, but mainly hot dogs for me, hot dogs and sausage and stuff like that. But I do want to bring up, speaking about ketchup and containers.
All right.
And going through the drive-thru and when you get the little packets and you're trying to, you know, rip those apart and, oh, instead of actually tearing off a little corner, you rip halfway down the entire side of the ketchup thing. It can be a pain in the ass in your car. However, the ketchup packets that are used at Chick-fil-A are quite ingenious.
So how, what is the design of the Chick-fil-A ketchup packet?
There are two different ways you can use it. You can either squeeze it out, or you can take the whole top off, and it's a little container, and you can dip in it.
Oh, it's either a dip or a squeeze.
You have the option. We're looking at
it. It says on
it right now.
It says dip and squeeze.
Dip and squeeze, high tomato ketchup. And what you do at the top,
yeah,
you can tear off the top and squeeze it out, or in the bottom corner, you pull the lid up, and it's a little plastic container at the bottom, and you can dip in it. It's brilliant.
That's okay. Why doesn't every place do that? Why is Chick-fil-A?
They're probably more expensive.
Thank you, Teresa Hines Carey.
And you know what else I like? Because you had mentioned the all red containers.
Yes.
The plastic. You know what I like is when you get hotel room service and you get the tiny little bottle of ketchup.
What about those, like little
because
tiny
you could stick a whole knife, like a butter knife in.
I take them home with me.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
They're cute.
No, they are cute.
I go crazy.
But anyway, I do like the Chick-fil-A ketchup containers. They are
so it's called squeeze and
dip and squeeze.
Dip and squeeze.
I think
it's a great vaudeville team of the 30s.
Okay, this is interesting. Let me go to Dennis. Hi, Dennis. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. What's up, Dennis?
Chips.
Yeah.
Chips.
That's what you keep in your car?
Chips.
I like potato chips. If you open the bag when you're done, put them in the freezer.
Oh, you put them in the freezer.
In the freezer. All right.
When you gotta eat them again, they're so crisp and salty, you don't need a whole
They're actually just frozen is what they are.
So you're saying they just have a better flavor to them when they're that cold?
It seems to bring the freshness out of them, and you can taste the salt or whatever flavor it may be, like vinegar or barbecue.
Interesting. I had not thought about that.
Was this an accident, or is this a learned behavior?
I learned it. My aunt used to do it, and she had the best chips around, so we were doing it.
You know, my aunt's got the best chips around.
Let me tell you something about my aunt.
Yeah.
She's got the best chips around, so Thanks. We're stuffing a body in the freezer. And what do we find in his breast pocket? A bag of chips. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, these are freaking awesome.
okay. Yeah, wow.
All right, on to this little slice of heaven that Nick gave me yesterday. This is more connoisseur, if you
okay.
would.
Okay.
We were talking about the connoisseur. Right. We were talking about pancakes, Looking so this is apropos.
Listen, I'm doing some investigative work. Casey, I know you're looking at my phone, but
I want to see it.
For some reason, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Golden Grands investigation.
He's still investigating.
Stopped in his tracks. So wow. hang on, I'm not telling you, Preston.
So you think that those and Golden Grams are the same?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, those Golden Grahams.
Oh,
General
do.
Mills. Yes, hi. This is Casey Boy from the Preston Steve Show. Can someone provide me with some answers to some questions? I'm doing a little investigation.
Okay. I have two words for you. We're going to sidestep this because
All right.
The connoisseur via Nick
Don't McElroy go there.
Found out this.
All right.
Two words. Soufflé pancakes. Howdy.
Wait.
Soufflé pancakes.
All right, what's a soufflé, though?
Wait one second. Preston, can come over here.
Okay.
Come over to the side.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes.
I want you to say that again.
All right, go ahead. Soufflé pancakes.
Yeah.
I really get to use the
I know.
Reamer.
I am down with that, and I don't even really know.
You're going to have to travel.
Well, souffle is a dessert, Casey.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
A very, very...
airy, light and airy.
Very rich and very
croissant-y.
Light. So good when you have it for dessert.
Oh,
so
dear
these are,
God.
Unfortunately, they're all the rage in Japan right now.
It's a very good. It's a light and airy. You know, in many ways, it's like two kinds of trucks. You know, trucks are saying that are transporting stew.
So in Japan right now, dozens of restaurants, cafes... and rapidly growing chains specializing in souffle pancakes are happening.
We're looking at a picture of a four stack. I love both these things. I think this would be wonderful. What? There's got to be some place here locally doing
nope.
it.
No, it's in San Francisco right now.
Well, that's local. That's only, what, how many, 6 hours by plane?
Preston, I did a little more research last night because I've sort of been obsessing about these things since I heard about them. It's not a new invention, but it's kind of new to the States.
Mm-hmm.
There is apparently a place in New York that you can go and get these.
Okay. Well, we are a culinary mecca here.
Right. Yeah. Somebody listening.
Where would you cook? So do you cook these on a griddle?
A George Foreman grill.
Does it need to be baked? I don't know how to make a souffle.
More than likely baked. Soufflés are baked.
Okay. They have to rise.
They have to rise, and they're very volatile. They can because they're so light and airy. The old joke was that it would, you know, if you made too much noise, it would cave in on itself.
Mona, you made my souffle fall.
That's what, okay.
San Francisco gets a taste of this via Graham Cafe and Pancakes. Which has locations all over Japan, is now bringing it into the States. But it says, while some Bay Area restaurants have souffle pancakes on their menus, are not quite the same as the Japanese style. Graham, this restaurant, makes their softest sponge premium pancakes in tall stacks of three at 3 points in the day, and they only serve 20 orders each at a time. So 60 chances a day to try the cakes in San Francisco.
You have to play the lottery to get these things?
It sounds like it, right?
You know,
it was
when
Cronuts came out. Remember, everybody was lining up.
Oh, it was huge. People were waiting in lines for Cronuts.
Yeah, so maybe somebody will get on these. And
you can make those, Preston.
Listen.
Give it a try. I don't know.
No, let's get – who here – we have a number of people. Maybe
sure we
a Saucy Redhead. Maybe Sarah could make these for us.
I'd prefer, and she's great. Sarah's fantastic, but I'd prefer like a breakfast.
Japanese person?
I was going to say like a breakfast chef. You know, like a place that specializes and serves breakfast.
What
like the Desmond.
No, the honey place. What's that place called, Kath?
Laurel and Honey.
No.
Laurel and Honey.
What about
Honey's,
the cow's
Honey's.
Place?
Honey's. Honey's.
Honey's. Yeah, yeah, that's the name of the place I'm trying to
okay.
say.
The guy who...
The guy!
The guy in Philadelphia had a breakfast place named Breakfast Dishes after us.
So that was his guy.
Glasses. I thought it had a couch.
Oh, that was
couch
it
in
went
the
out
name.
Of business.
Oh. Yeah, it was, but that guy's still alive,
it
right?
It was the living room.
Apparently our association with him killed it.
No, unfortunately, he went out of business. He was a really good chef. Zach.
Zach.
I bet you, what's the other
chef
one that
Nubs.
That used to come in all the time? It was a Green Eggs cafe?
Yeah. Oh, they're excellent
Green
as
eggs.
Well.
I bet they could do
they
it.
They make
and
stuff
around.
Like that all the time.
So let's see if we can commission somebody from there. Because we all agree, right, this notion of a souffle pancake is... too good to let pass out of our lives.
It's worth experiencing, definitely.
And I can't, honestly, the likelihood of me getting to Japan in the next couple of weeks is limited.
And, yeah, I know, well, there's Colleen over at Kriebel's Bakery who did our
oh, yeah, those
cakes
are good.
For the
wedding, right?
For the wedding. Maybe she could get on it. I don't know. But all I know is we got to try fluffy Japanese souffle pancakes.
And you guys are mixing you're mixing desserts with breakfast.
I know.
Right, Kat?
That's what a pancake is to begin with. That's always been my issue. Didn't you hear the emotional turmoil?
Well, that's
what
this
going
is.
Through?
This is a souffle, which is a dessert, mixing with pancake, which is breakfast.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So there you go.
Yes. Now I would commit to this for the sheer thrill of trying something new.
But I would agree with Nick. I'm sorry. I think that the breakfast...
She smokes cigars in the morning.
I think that the breakfast place is going to be able to
right.
create it better than a baker or bakery.
Are you sure?
I'm good with whoever wants to try it. All right, anyhow. One last thing from the... because we're going to be... Well,
one last item from... What? Did you get
what?
More?
What?
Do you want Pringles or Nutella?
I want them both.
Can we do Pringles? Because Marissa just had a Pringles thing on Sunday. Right.
Marissa had a Pringles and wine party for Super Bowl.
By the way, is that something Marissa herself created?
Okay. She started it. So it's from, you remember that that story from the Bizarre File, a woman who was at a Walmart drinking wine out of a Pringles cup?
That's where it came from.
Marissa took it from that. I think it's a brilliant idea. But there's a, on Etsy, there's a guy called The Cup Artist who now sells a 20-ounce Pringles tumbler. If you would like to drink wine out of it, they sell them now. They're 20-ounce tumblers wrapped in Pringles logo and can be ordered in the original red design, an original blue Starburst design, ranch, or sea salt and vinegar.
Oh, that's funny.
The owner of the shop, Celeste Power, says that she was inspired by that news story of the woman banned from the Walmart store that she was just caught riding around the parking lot drinking wine out of her Pringles can. And Marissa's friends had some controversy around that, too, I think,
as to
whether they just had the bottle in the Pringles can.
Yeah, we had a whole conversation of whether she used it as like a koozie and put it in the can or poured it in. We did decide that the diameter of the bottle would not fit in
said
canister, so she did have to pour it in.
She was using it as a glass.
Yes.
And she was using it as a cover. Like, so people didn't know that she was drinking wine.
Sure. Yeah, just...
You know, kind of like... Have you ever... Okay.
Well,
No one's going to say anything if they see you walking around drinking out of a Pringles can. But...
No, Casey, you're thinking... When I was thinking that she used it as, like, a koozie and she put the bottle
That's
in...
That's not what I'm thinking. Okay. I'm thinking that she poured it in there and... Because she can't drink in the parking lot of a Walmart... People would be more inclined to stop her if she was just drinking out of a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Rather than some crazy lady drinking out of
She's just drinking out of her Pringles container.
Right?
But
God
I mean, you would know.
She got like a, you know, an exercise water bottle, which you could just put it in there.
Well, that costs money.
With a totally convincing receptacle that nobody could see.
But anyhow, Marissa?
Yes, we learned that the container does hold liquids very solidly. It didn't leak. And the flavors of the, like, salt and such make it taste very good.
Interesting.
Seriously?
Yes.
So it make it taste better?
No, some of them. I mean, I was drinking like champagne out of honey mustard, and it was pretty darn good.
You cleaned it out first, though?
No.
Oh.
I guess the idea is to have the residual Pringle matter help enhance the taste of the wine, correct? You're basically pairing wine with Pringles.
Yeah, I wanted to be pure to the story, and I assume that the woman didn't, like, rinse out her Pringles container in the parking lot, so I just went for that.
Thank God you didn't go with the story before that about the woman sneaking the phone into the prison in her butt.
Yeah. Let's do that at the Super Bowl.
That's next year.
All right, anyhow, Connoisseur Files. I actually have a lot left, but we don't have time to get to them all right now.
But we still went further than we normally would because we don't have to do the GoFundMe thing.
That's right. Yeah, we're done with that.
Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.